Open up your ears and open up your mind. They'll reach into your throat and pull out your spine. And when the sun blows up and the earth is gone, there's still experience grind with Kyle and Sean.
You know how a couple of weeks ago I mentioned this show and it was like kind of a, oh, Micah better not listen to this. It's a show recommendation or whatever. And I brought up that show Traitors.
Yes.
He absolutely messaged me literally the next day and goes, hey, remember when I recommended that show Traitors to you? But it turns out that this motherfucker only recommended like the terrible US version. And so now I have him watching like the good, like, I think he's watching New Zealand season one right now.
Yeah.
He has to have finished it by now. So yeah, I thought that was funny. But off air, we were talking about some cooking shows. Well,
yeah, bro.
Talking about cooking shows is a stretch. I mentioned one that I watched the other night and you're like, hey, save it for the show.
Shut your damn mouth.
You know we don't talk off air.
You don't you try it.
Stop pretending like we know each other out of here.
Yeah.
What an idiot. You watch any cooking shows, dude?
I watch a fair amount of them.
What are some of the ones that you like?
The ones that I really like is Hell's Kitchen. Okay. And I'm a big Bake Off guy. British only, though.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like the only reason I keep Netflix. You didn't get into Bake Off?
No.
Mm.
They aren't as... Man, I'm really surprised that how much you like the Bake Off ones, because for me, they're not as like thing, like triggering, like fast paced triggering things. Mm-hmm. Whereas a lot of these other ones, like Great Christmas Cookie Challenge or whatever it is, they're very fast paced, lots of jump cuts.
Yes.
And always stimulating something for me.
See,
and that's
for me,
a big pull in for me.
That's the exact opposite reason why I don't like most of them, because of just like my dorkiness of, and seeing the differences, like the fast cuts and the edited for drama-ness, like stick out like a sore thumb to me. And that's why I like Bake Off, because it's so much more natural and like wholesome. Like almost every time on Bake Off, if somebody gets done with theirs early, they'll go over and help somebody else like finish theirs. Somebody they're in direct competition with, they're all just about helping each other out and being cool. It's so fucking refreshing compared to this generally fake Americanized shit where they're like, I'm not here to make friends, I'm here to win. Like, man, fuck you.
I love it when there's always that person. A lot of the cookie ones, you always actually have a lot of people where if they finish first, they'll like come over and like really help somebody else complete their thing. I'm like, what are you doing, you freaking Looney Tune? But it is also part of that draw, like you just said. I also hate Noel, so
oh, how dare you. I love, dude, Noel's
so fucking phony.
I love Noel Fielding so much. How dare you, sir?
I forgot until like while you were talking that Noel was like one of the hosts of it. And every time he appears on the screen, I want to punch him right in the Adam's apple.
Literally one of the reasons I finally started watching that series, because Noel became a host and I'm such a fanboy for Noel Fielding.
Actually, for someone who says they didn't really get into it, I definitely watched like a full season. Like, I'm constantly looking for content to ingest if it's something in my wheelhouse. Like, I'm always looking for a new cooking show or something that I really enjoy. So I've definitely watched a good amount of it. But, man, that lady judge on that show is such a see you next Tuesday. It's not even funny. Dude.
She is. Well, that's what I love about her.
Brutal.
Yeah, she's. What's funny is that most people don't even think she's the worst. Paul Hollywood is much more of an asshole.
Nah, she is so much worse.
I love it.
Paul Hollywood isn't like, it feels like she is just an asshole for the sake of being an asshole. And like, Paul Hollywood, like, I hear him talk and I'm like, I understand what you're saying here. I understand. Like, you're not being a dick. Maybe you're a little, your ego is a little inflated. Sure. Probably. But man, sometimes she just feels like she's being a dick to be a dick.
What's the deal with dudes from the UK and like Americanized last names?
Yeah, right. Everybody knows what Hollywood is.
Well, you've got Paul Hollywood, Johnny Vegas, mm-hmm. the comedian.
Yeah.
So there's two.
Isn't he Irish?
Yeah, but like Ireland is still in the UK. That's why, like,
I believe you.
that's what like the whole IRA shit in the 80s was. It was Irish nationalists that wanted to separate from the UK.
Oh, okay. Well,
so they blew up cars and stuff
with nail bombs, probably
a lot of just car bombs in general. But they were brutal because they would like, yeah, they'd do like whole families.
That's vicious.
Yeah, IRA is brutal, man. That shit was wild in the 80s.
Have you watched Crime Scene Kitchen?
I don't believe so. What the hell is Crime Scene Kitchen?
Dude. All I want in life right now. Actually, there's a lot of things I want in life right now. But one of the top 30 things that I want in life right now is a new season of Crime Scene Kitchen.
Yeah.
So basically how it works is there's a bunch of teams of two. It goes through a whole season. Like every season has kind of like a different dynamic. One of the best ones was like team pros versus team home cooks. So how it works is there'll be 10 teams of pros, right? And they alternate between episodes. So the pros compete against the pros. The home cooks compete against the home cooks until half of each is eliminated and everybody is now competing against each other. Now, what happens is, I believe it's three different things that they're making every show. And everybody's given, I think, 3 minutes to go into this set up kitchen and use clues from around this kitchen, whether it be things in the dishwasher, something's in the trash, what's in the fridge, what's been open, has like flour spilt on the counter, what kind of flour is it? They have to, using these clues, figure out what was made and make it. And whoever gets it, it has immunity, unless everybody gets it. And then
what is this called?
Crime Scene Kitchen.
And what's it on?
I have no idea.
Are you kidding? What do you watch it on?
I don't remember. I don't know.
I'll find it then.
Well, I'll find it after. Like,
yeah, this sounds like something that Mandy especially would absolutely love. So I'm going to check that out. Here's something else.
Folks at home, it is streaming on, it is on Hulu.
Fucking A. That's what I was hoping for.
Yep.
All right. Tight.
It is a lot of fun. And it can be like one of those really produced ones, but
yeah, I'm sure it'll be fun.
It's so entertaining, and yeah, like a lot of them have these really great, you know, those wholesome stories behind the teams.
A lot of times I hate that shit the most. Like,
man,
because that's the shit that feels so forced. You get that a lot. She watches America's Got Talent, and
sure,
you have to have a sad story to be on that fucking show. I hate that shit.
Oh, it's not like that. It's just like, oh, these two people are from Vegas and they have a bakery down there and this is how they met. Like, sometimes their personalities are what really like drive it. And you're like, oh, man, I really hope that person wins. I want to go to their thing in Vegas.
There was a good one we watched last year. Like, I hope they do it again this year. It was like all Halloween based, like kind of leading up to Halloween.
Fuck yeah.
But they would do different types of desserts, but, you know, they'd all be like horror related in some way. They did some really cool shit on there. That series was great. It was another one of those too. And one of the reasons I like Bake Off is maybe because of the era I came up in, but like, I'm not always in a binge mood. Like, I like watching stuff weekly and like digesting it, you know?
Yeah.
So
that's how, the newest season of Traitors, Traitors New Zealand, was just airing, and every week in New Zealand they air two episodes.
Oh, tight.
And so, you know, the magic of VPN and signing up for New Zealand's free TV service every Sunday night. We log on to the VPN, sign into that free New Zealand
TV, it's great.
And just, yeah,
that's tight.
We watched like the entire season of news. It just finished on Sunday.
You know, speaking of binging, Sean, I try not to a bit, but for today's movie, I got access to your YouTube channel. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
But when I was looking for this movie, I thought you had already watched this. So I went through your history. But I saw that you binged recently one of my favorite channels, which is Carl Jobst.
Yo!
Yeah, dog. Yo, good. So good, yo, right?
Nothing. I have been.
Hello, you absolute legends. Right now,
you'll see a trend. I've been obsessed with just like finding people cheating at games.
Uh-huh.
And it's so fascinating to hear about it, hear them getting caught, what they were doing. Oh, yeah. Man.
I love that Carl, like, shows you, because it's, like, speedrunning shit. It's, mm-hmm. Dude, his channel's so fucking good.
Hell yeah, dude. I very rarely will minimize the screen and give something a thumbs up. I know I'm awful. It's very easy to do. I never like videos. I think I liked almost every video that I watched of his. Because it was, damn, dude, it's so fucking entertaining.
So entertaining.
And also, fuck Billy Mitchell.
Well, of course. Yeah.
I will not remember to beep that out, so I'm going to get sued. But JK, but only kind of.
Yeah, fuck him, though. But no. Yeah, Carl Jobst stuff is awesome, man. Like, I've burned through his channel a lot. He's one of those, like, I'm subscribed. I've got the bell on, so when he drops a new one, I'm always there.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, fuck that. I was like, oh, shit, he got into that. It's also funny, I made a joke about wanting to beat up my coworkers that are getting back into Magic the Gathering.
I was thinking about this today when I was watching these videos.
Yeah, well, because one of the things that happens with that, of course, is that my fucking phone overhears them talking about it, and I was getting stuff in my algorithm of, like, cheater exposed at Magic the Gathering tournament. I'm like, God damn it, you sons of bitches. And of course I watched them. And those fuckers, dude, did get exposed.
Dude, I have never sat down ever. I've never sat there and watched like any Magic the Gathering tournament play. Like, I don't give a fuck. I don't care that much. But while watching the Carl Jobst stuff, like, it kept popping up in the watch next kind of thing. And I'm like, nah, I don't really care. But then at work this morning, a video just, like, started auto-playing. I'm like, okay, well, now I gotta like watch all these videos about people cheating at Magic. This is awesome.
Scumbags.
I literally have one. I'll shout it out. Nikachu MTG. This guy's actually very entertaining, but greatest MTG shuffle cheaters caught on camera.
That's the most common one. It's essentially dudes that are like, they do card tricks. And so they just like, they palm like the card at the bottom of the deck and just save it for when they want it. And then they're like, oh.
Well, there's that, or ones that, you know, can sit there and shuffle and keep things on top. Or if they go to shuffle their opponent's deck, see something that they want on top that's going to screw them. Mm-hmm. One of the most entertaining ones that I watched today was, like, cheater cheats himself. So, like, he couldn't help but cheat, and he couldn't see the end game. So, in cheating, he actually screwed himself.
Awesome.
Oh, no. He tried to screw the other player by shuffling something to the top, which is actually what they needed. They needed a land to do everything and beat them. And I'm like, oh, get wrecked, you little bitch.
That's funny. I love it. That's called karma comeuppance.
Yeah, dude. Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. Wait, do you have Max?
Yeah, I've got HBO Max.
Oh, okay. A lot of the cooking shows that I like watching are on there. So
yeah,
that was more so for the listeners. If you like those Halloween, or I was telling you about this Hanukkah one I watched prior, or Christmas, Those ones are all bomb and on max. But
I might check those out. Yeah, I've been playing. I went retro. I've been playing an old game, trying to get back into it.
What have you been playing?
Monster Hunter World.
Oh, did it have anything to do with the Jopst videos on Monster Hunter World that came out this week?
Because I'd watch those anyways. It's more because, like, I am kind of pretty excited about Wilds, which is coming out like next year.
So is that Monster Hunter?
Yeah, it's the next Monster Hunter. It's Monster Hunter World is technically Monster Hunter 5, and Monster Hunter Wilds is technically Monster Hunter 6. They just stopped numbering them.
So, wait, so Rise doesn't fit into there?
Rise is more, it's just like, it's one of the spin-off, more mobile-style ones.
Oh, okay.
It's not considered a mainline. I enjoyed the hell out of Rise. Yeah, Rise is supposed to be really good. I haven't played that one. World, I just still own. I have
Monster Hunter World.
Yeah, we all got it for a while. It was one of those, like, I don't think Capcom was, like, ready. It was one of those, it's very annoying to, like, join other people's games, like your friends and shit, so.
And sometimes I think, especially back then, all it took was, like, 3 or 4 failed attempts to get something going.
Sure, and then you're just over it. At least
for me, I was like, fuck this.
Yeah.
I'm out.
But yeah, I'm trying to play it and get it, because I never beat it. I would always kind of get burnt out a little bit, but trying it again. I am excited about Wilds, so.
Right on. What are you playing World on?
PS5. It's a PS4 copy, but, you know, you can sort of upscale it.
Sure.
So, but right still on, PSN. Dude. I think that's, again, what we all got it on.
I'm sure that's what I have it on. I'll have to take a check, a look after. I just started playing my PlayStation again.
Nice, yeah.
Weirdly enough, I've been playing hockey.
Okay.
Like, I never play sports games.
Yeah, I was playing PGA 2K23 because that was like one of the free PSN games. I was like, oh yeah, that's on here. And then I was like, oh, I should play Monster Hunter because I'm playing the PlayStation.
I think that's exactly why I started playing hockey, was it was like one of the free games. And actually, crazy enough, Mitch got a PS5 the same, like pretty much the same day that the new NHL game got announced for free.
Nice.
So, I don't know. I'll get. Have you guys played it? No.
Oh.
No. I don't want to lose like immediately. I'm trying to do like the you create a character and
learn the
you
rise
up through the ranks or ranks or whatever. Like I just got drafted.
My career. I don't remember
to who. I don't know. It was originally to the Ducks. I'm like, fuck yeah, that's awesome. And then like 3 more teams tried recruiting me, and now I don't even remember where I'm on. But I'm not good at the game.
That's like, the part I hate.
You have a game where you're like really good and you're like, fuck yeah, I rule at this game. And then I have like 3 games in a row where maybe I get an assist here or there.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, I'm really not good.
I hate that a lot of times, like, and it happens a lot with like those sports games where like, you know how to play the base level, but then there's like that whole second and sometimes third level of like things you can do that like you don't even know.
Mm-hmm. It's like, so something that will actually tie into what we're talking about today, like the farthest back I can think of is like any football game, dude. Like going back to the Genesis, for me, I didn't play a lot of like the NES football game.
Me neither.
Maybe I did a little bit, but my dad and I played a lot on the Genesis.
What game? And,
probably like Madden 96.
Okay. My big one was Joe Montana Sports Talk Football. I fucking love that game. God damn, I love that game.
My dad, like, he's the guy that just watches a lot of football. He knows other plays, knows what kind of what you should be doing. And even to this day, like, I have no fucking clue. I have no idea. I could hook up a Madden game. I haven't picked up a Madden game in like 10 years. But the last one I played, I just look at like the little
play
picture.
Looks cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, oh man, that's a lot of circles, and I think it's coverage, so I'm probably gonna do that. And then the dude runs it 90 yards. I'm like, okay, well,
X is gonna run up and cut to the right. X has caught it a lot. I'll throw to him this time.
Yeah. It's Hey, this one play has worked the last 9 times.
Just run it again.
Let's do it again. So, like, I could never do that. And spoilers, we're talking about Little Giants, if you couldn't see the image. That scene where that little chess player kid is, like, now the playmaker.
Uh-huh.
It's like, motherfucker, there's no way you know what the hell's going on. But he honestly
the annexation of Puerto Rico. He had
she doesn't have the ball.
He had John Madden help him out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like the way that they were talking in this movie, like, kid, you are not on his level. You shut your mouth.
John Madden should have backhanded him. Should have backhanded him and then just wrote the play out.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then backhanded him again.
Kyle, have you ever seen Sam Horgan and our good friend Michael in the same space, like, ever?
You sent me this, and we're like, so Sam, he played Spike in this movie, right?
Yeah.
That's fucking hilarious. That picture does look shockingly a lot like Michael.
Like, even a kid version of him, like, not a kid version, him as a kid, I still was seeing the resemblance, and like, you know how when you see someone and you know somebody, and once you see somebody else and there's even the smallest resemblance, you can never unsee it?
Yeah, you just sort of start calling him that person.
Yeah, I couldn't unsee Michael every time Spike was on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
At all. So, I don't know.
Nah. Like, when I see you, I think of the Elephant Man.
The Elephant Man? Sick. That's awesome. Actually, you know what somebody told me I look like yesterday?
Who?
And I can actually see it. The person who's the vampire dude in Baldur's Gate 3?
Oh, I don't know. I've not played Baldur's Gate 3.
Oh my god. I'm looking it up right now. Listeners are going to be like, you are awful. Asterion. So the, not Asterion himself.
I've heard of him.
But the person.
Who voices acting?
No, who was like the model.
Oh.
God damn it. Never mind. I'll find it after and send it to you. It was like, you look exactly like this guy.
I like that you're. Counter to my story of you calling you the Elephant Man. It's like, actually, this person said I look like this model the other day. And I got to be honest, I kind of agree with them.
Neil Newbon.
I don't know who this is. I bet he's got soft, kissable lips, though.
He does.
Oh, and yeah, nice, I knew it.
And nice eyes. Look
and
at
nice eyes? Damn it.
Yeah, nice blue eyes. What a hunk. I don't see it, but also at the same time.
Totally see it.
I'll take it.
This is me.
Okay, I'm sending it to you right now. Hold on. Check this out. Everybody, listeners, I don't give a fuck. All right, click this link. Oh, I guess not. Ah! Look at that. Look at that guy. He needs like a little bit sunken in cheeks, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about on the bunskies.
He does have soft, kissable lips, though. You were not joking about that.
And look at those eyes. They're piercing.
He looks a lot like old John Hamm.
Who's John Hamm?
John Hamm from Mad Men.
I've never seen that. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know who that is.
Yeah, he looks a lot like John Hamm.
Like, I know who that is as I'm looking at a picture of him. No shit.
It's that guy from that thing.
That thing. He's got a very strong face.
Two that guys from that thing.
My goodness. Little Giants, dude.
Is this one that you saw as a kid?
Fuck yeah. 1994. Yeah. I'm 7 years old. So my setup when I was a little kid, okay, was originally we had a big, deep box TV that had like drawers that would slide and you can put stuff underneath it. It had spots so like I could keep my Nintendo powers under there. Eventually we got like a new TV with a new entertainment center, but we kept the old TV to play video games on because my parents would always talk about like screen burning and stuff like that. So they didn't want that to happen with video games.
Really smart move on their part.
Ironically, I never once in my life ever saw a screen burn in mm-hmm. until the TV I had prior to the one that I have right now.
Yeah.
So I was in my late 20s before I ever saw a screen burn in. Anyways, we had the two TVs downstairs. One of them we had the NES hooked up to and later the PlayStation. And the other one was just something that we watched TV on. I distinctly remember being a little kid playing Star Tropics and watching Little Giants. And I remember another time playing Crystalis and watching Little Giants. Like, I have so many memories of just being a kid playing an old ass video game and watching this movie. Mm. What about you? Were you too old?
For the most part, yeah. Most of my exposure to this movie had been like catching parts of it on TV and never watching much of it. Because, yeah, like I was a little too cool for school for this one. I don't really know why, because I watched a lot of other kids' movies around this time.
It's weird how that works out.
Yeah.
The ones that you pick and choose to like and the other ones that you're just too cool for.
But yeah, this was definitely one. This was the first time I've seen it from like start to finish. It's also weird that I never sat down to watch it because I fucking love Ed O'Neill. Maybe mm-hmm. I just never knew that he was the bad guy in this movie.
Which is really funny, like the idea of the antagonist and protagonist in this movie. Like,
yeah.
It's a kid's movie, obviously, but it's definitely weird watching this movie as an adult and going back to it for sure. And also to touch on something you said last week, the beauty of kids movies is they're never over an hour and 30 minutes.
Oh yeah.
Ugh, whoops.
147 on this one. Your choice, by the way. I notice that.
As soon as I loaded it up, dude, I was like, are you serious?
Yeah, I laughed.
At about 1:15, I paused it to go do something and thought to myself, how is there still a half an hour left in this movie?
Uh-huh.
How? Like, they were just starting the football game.
Yeah. There's a lot of setup, a lot of buildup. Some of it sort of needless. Like, I feel the Rick Moranis love story with the quarterback's mom. Shout out Devin Sawa, by the way.
Uh-huh. I forgot he was in this.
I didn't even know it till he showed up. Mandy was like, ooh, it's Devin Sawa.
He's very active on social media.
Definitely he's a pretty cool guy. He's a cool guy. I like
Devin
Sawa.
Isn't that Chucky show?
Is he?
Yeah.
I'd never know.
Yeah, that it's like all he tweets about. And I don't even follow the dude, but I must have liked one tweet ages ago.
Because
he's always on my feed.
And he's just it's the incessant algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
You should ask him about Little Giants. We should tag him in this if he's that active. I will.
Yeah.
Shout out Devin Sawa. What's up, dude? We love you and like everything. And my wife has a huge crush on you.
Oh, wait. Is he in? He's not in Mighty Ducks, right? He's in Mighty Ducks 2.
Is he in 2?
Right.
Let's look it up.
Honestly, I might just be talking out my ass right
Here's
now.
Here's the Devin Sawas I know off the top of my head.
Okay.
Idle Hands.
Yep.
Can't Hardly Wait.
Okay.
Is he in Can't Hardly Wait? Yeah, Final Destination.
Casper?
Yes, Casper, of course. This movie. I feel there's another one.
Slackers?
The SLC Stan Punk? Music video. Yeah, SLC Punk. I love you, Devin Sawa. You're in so many of my formative movies. I don't think he's in Mighty Ducks, though.
Yeah, he's not in Mighty Ducks. I'm just talking about my ass. I'm just thinking of what's his face there in Frailty. probably not even the right movie or show. I don't know what Frailty is. Anywho. Yeah, man, what did you say last week when we were talking about what are some of the standout things in kids' movies?
I pointed that to Mandy when it happened, too. It's either a dead parent, divorced parent.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So standard. I thought the love thing made sense in the whole... Man, Danny shits on his ex-wife in the nicest way possible
throughout
this entire movie.
She left us. She abandoned us.
Yeah. She left us behind for a better team. Actually, I think that's what freaking Becky said. But
it's also weird. Like, I don't know if this is before or after. I guess it still would have been before because, like, Rick Moranis' wife died. And, like, that's why he left Hollywood for so long.
Yeah. Wasn't that more recent? Like, I mean, in the 2000s, maybe?
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah,
so this was way before then.
The old Rick Moranis, though, man. We just talked about another Rick Moranis movie. I was thinking about that, too, because that movie was so bad.
What was he just in?
He was in that fucking...
Streets of Fire.
Yeah, Streets of Fire, man.
Oh, no, dude. Yeah. Okay, so I don't know actually what I gave that movie. Maybe a 13.
Yeah.
The Kick-Ass-O-Meter, okay. It's a scale that it's not flawed at all.
No.
But man, it's been like less than a month and I've already forgotten about that movie. Totally.
Yeah. I just remember he's in it and he's awful in it. And he's so fucking good in this.
Yeah. Rick Moranis, Ed O'Neill, I think they both absolutely knock it out of the park as their respective roles in this movie. As contrived as this movie is, which is a movie that starts back in the 60s. Rick Moranis and Ed O'Neill play the O'Shea brothers, Danny and Kevin. Danny's the little nerdy brother, and Kevin's the more jock athletic type.
Uh-huh.
And Danny's always left behind, but Kevin's a good brother, and by the end of that scene he goes, "Danny, one day our names are gonna be up on that water tower. Both of us, we got this." Well, about 30 years later, Kevin's name's up there because he's a football hero, but this football hero is back in his old rinky-dink podunk town, working with cars, but his name is up on that water tower. And
yeah,
coaching peewee football. Like,
coaching peewee football.
So he's weird. It's like something that you don't think of as a kid, but as an adult.
Yeah, like I said it last week, too, during Man of the House, and it was another one with this one. Like, how just completely bare bones the plots and the storylines are in these movies. They just exist to progress us to the next. In this movie, fart joke. There are so many fart jokes in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
All from the one fat kid. Like, haha, fat kid farts.
I don't know how the movie Benchwarmers, which came out 11 or 12 years after this, and has some of the worst fart jokes, and actually, they're not terrible, but they are such a central part of that movie that they can just be... They're, if you talk about that movie, you make fun of the beef stew lines, right? Mm. This just makes those look like pure cinema. Get it, Scorsese.
I did love that kid practiced in a Darth Vader helmet.
Oh, man, that was great. Without the face mask.
I thought that was fantastic.
Oh, man. Almost like, what's Moranis' role in Dark Helmet?
Oh, yeah.
Because isn't that how Moranis walks around in Spaceballs with just the top part and his face exposed?
He exposes it a lot because that's what's funny is because the helmet is so humongous on that. But it does have a faceplate, too.
Yeah, and nobody can ever hear him, so he takes it off.
Yeah.
Wow, it's been ages since I watched that. But that... Ed O'Neill, Kevin, he's got to lead this peewee team to... Actually, we don't even know, because like this isn't like some season of a thing.
I also didn't... Are peewee leagues a thing anywhere to have a national championship, like to, that anybody would ever give a fuck about?
No. God, right? That's why I found it so funny that this football star, this hometown hero, is coaching a peewee league. Like, it's so, ridiculous yeah. and ludicrous, and really only speaks to the children that are watching this, because they're like, oh, I'm in a peewee league. Like, I was in peewee soccer, right? Yeah. So, like, I got that. I'm like, yeah, let's go. Not at all thinking of how absolutely ludicrous this is.
It's like the downhill boxcar races. Movies and TV would have you think those are a lot more prevalent in real life than they are. I have never seen one of those, never been to one.
No.
But they're in like every kid's movie.
They're in like every kid's movie. It's crazy.
This movie
has.
You know
what else I know from being in a peewee league?
What?
A lot. Okay, one town, one team. Sure, that's fair. But you know what doesn't happen in that? Tryouts. There's not tryouts for peewee sports.
No.
You could have a roster of like 20 kids. You know what the town cares about? Is the money that your parents pay them
also,
to have you on the team.
That's a really good point. Why is there only one team per town?
Because like it's usually a countywide thing where like, all of the towns play against each other.
Are there only 20 kids in this town? Like, how small is it?
If there is, because I thought about how rinky-dink this little town is, that it has, like, that one lone random-ass water tower up there. So this just has me thinking it's in some weird-ass Midwestern town. And how it is that, like, nobody's ever seen Junior before in this town. Like, when they first come across
Devin Sawa's
character,
Junior. Yeah, that's what
I thought, too.
I said that to Mandy. I was like, how does the Heisman-winning bestest coach in the entire world not know that, like, there's this great quarterback right here in his town?
And how does this kid that loves being a quarterback so much and loves throwing the ball
not know
that this PBT has a tryout?
Yeah, same thing. Again, like, just have to suspend that disbelief. Spike, yeah, being the fucking... Spike reminded me, you remember that fucking Little Hercules kid?
Yeah.
God, that's what he reminded me of. That kid, I think, is like fucked up seriously now because of that shit.
I would imagine. Oh, the Little Hercules kid?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen that. He's like in his early 20s, mid-20s now.
Yeah,
something
but I
like
think
that.
His like body's all jacked up because I think his dad was giving him steroids.
That's so fucked,
isn't it, man?
Yo, his dad's like, I rub condensed milk on his hamstrings every night before bed or something, like evaporated milk.
That guy always has that fucking haircut.
Yeah, so like that military style, squared off cut.
He's very good at that character. I guess that's why they call them a character actor.
Yeah, he crushes it. But it was really ironic that Junior as a character is unknown to everybody in this town, but the two coaches get an advanced heads up that some 10-year-old is moving into the neighborhood.
He's humongous. How do these old men, what pedophile ring is happening? Because these old men know every aspect about this kid. He's like, there's a real big kid just moved into town.
Dude, there is so much problematic stuff going on. Okay, so Danny and Kevin, really well known in the town. Fine, whatever.
Yeah.
But Danny going around. Okay.
When he's talking to the kid on the horse outside the fucking... I looked at Mandy on that one too. I was like, dude, there's no way you would ever do that today.
Right? Dude, exactly. That's where I was going to go with that. He's like... do you like football? No.
It's a grown middle-aged man.
No. Do you want to play football? No. Great. You're on the team.
We'll see you later.
What?
That little scrawny kid, man. You remember him? I remember that flexing. I feel that became like a meme before memes were a thing. That was everywhere.
Iconic scene. When he's in his pajama bottoms flexing in front of the mirror.
Yeah. Yeah. I also related it because I was like that kid all through junior high. I did not hit my growth spurt till after I was a freshman in high school. So I looked almost identical to that kid. I was so fucking tiny.
Yeah.
And I joined.
I can't picture it, but I
tried out for the football team in junior high, and I made it up till they did actual tackles, and this bully from my school hit me as hard as he could, and I cried, and I quit the team.
Oh.
It was terrible, Kyle. Man. It hurts so bad. I was the size of this kid, though, and the kid that hit me was like the size of Spike. Now imagine him actually hitting me without movie magic.
So you were basically that kid that Spike runs over later in the movie and an imprint in the
Looney Tunes style.
He took him back to second grade.
Oh, this movie is so fucking insane. I love it.
So, like, okay, it gets to the point. We said one town, one team. So you're probably asking yourself, or not at all, because you've probably seen this movie, why is there two teams? Well, Kevin's the coach, like we established, of the Pee Wee team, and he's running a tryout at the beginning of the movie. Icebox, which is Becky, Danny's daughter, is the best player on the team. According to multiple people in this shot or whatever, she doesn't make the team because she's a girl.
Ooh.
Can't have girls on the team.
Boo.
And so between Karen, who's Kevin's wife, and Danny being all upset, and then you got Becky / Icebox being all upset, and that's when we find out about their mom or her mom leaving because she needed better things, which gave them better things. Whatever.
Danny
decides to start his own team of ragtag misfits.
Uh-huh. Classic story.
Yeah. But again, one town, one team. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing Kevin brings to the table. He goes, you can't do this. And someone goes, playoffs.
What about a playoff?
So they need to have a showdown 2 weeks from that point. And at that point, Danny only has his daughter on the team. So that's when he goes and stalks all these kids around town and kidnaps them.
Yeah. I like that scene, though. It was the way that it was presented, how they're just walking down the railroad tracks with the original four kids. And then each time they like show the cutaway of them recruiting them, then they walk onto the train walk scene frame. Mm-hmm. And eventually it gets to be like fucking 10 kids. It was really cool. Yeah.
And every one of the kids has kind of a backstory and a honestly, like a payoff by the end of the movie. Like, you have the kid whose dad never has time for him, always leaving for work, which I thought that had the funniest payoff at the end of the movie.
Dad! Oh, God, dude. And again, so the funniest thing about this kid's movie revisit is just how goddamn heavy-handed they all are, too. Just,
yeah.
Oh, he fucking pouts every time his dad leaves for business. My dad has to go away for business.
Just leaving him home alone all the time.
It's just vague business, too. Not what he does. Just, it's business.
And I love that he's sitting there with the football on his lap, like really hitting you over the head with the fact that all he wants to do is throw the football with his dad. That's all he wants.
That at no point does like anybody like reach out to the dad or like help convince him. The dad just shows up to the game, which means that he consciously knew that he was neglecting his son the entire time. Like, he's just like, oh, I should not be a shitbag. It wasn't some like, hey, man, maybe you should realize that business isn't as important as your family life. And then he has the realization. No, he just understands he's an asshole.
Like, it heavily implies that, like, he's known what his kid's been doing for the last 2 weeks and probably never once talked to or asked him about it at all.
The kid, he looks so sad every time his dad's leaving.
Then you got the mom who drops off the scrawny kid that you're talking about. And honestly, I'm terrible. I remember like all of everybody else's name, like all the adults' names, but the kids could not give a single shit about their names. But drops off Jake, who is the scrawny kid you're referring to, Jake Berman. Okay. And like, to put into perspective how small this kid is, she says when he was born, he was 1 pound, one ounce, and was in an incubator for like a month.
I do. I remember the scene of him with like all the foam taped around him too. I do remember that.
It looked like a bed, like a bed topper just wrapped around him.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so, just walking onto the field squeaking.
Everybody hits on him.
Honestly, every scene he was in, I felt was kind of gold. Just,
I liked one of the things, especially that it did well, is it captures the awkwardness of this age. One of the my favorite ways is Icebox, when she first sees Junior and she has the crush on him, and she has the powdered donut sugar all around her lips, dude. I'm being a dumb fucking kid, being like that, or Cheeto dust, and just running around in public not caring because you're fucking 10 years old. Like, so relatable, man.
Yeah. Yeah, and like, looking back at it, when she actually, when they cut to the supermarket and they're walking around and she's holding the box of donuts, she's just walking around the store eating the donuts in the store, and she had all of that powdered sugar like up to her nose, down to her chin, and...
My mom always convinced me that it was illegal to eat the food in the supermarket.
I still don't because I feel like it's illegal, even though I know it's not.
It's not, especially like if you're going to pay for it, who fucking cares? But that's what she just didn't want me to do that and then like set it down. And so she didn't pay for it. So she was just like, it's illegal. If the police see you do that, they'll arrest you. And I can't bail you out. I don't have that much, you know, just terrifying me. Guilt tripping. Good parenting.
I used to get like bags of green beans, like the good old green beans from the vegetable section, and I would sneak one to eat it in the supermarket. And when I say I would sneak one, I mean like 5 years ago. Like, I'd be walking around and I'd feel like I was like,
you'd be checking around the corner.
Yeah, dude, look, it made it seem like I was shoplifting a freaking TV.
You're sweating checking out at the self-checkout.
Did somebody see me on camera? Am I banned from this premises?
Two of the employees like are standing over there just talking about absolutely nothing, but you're like, are they talking about me? They're talking about me. Oh my God. They're going to bust me. They're waiting for me to walk out. They're going to get me. I know. Ah!
Oh man. Dude, the whole recruitment and getting to like how creepy it was, a scene that I'm sure I thought was hilarious as a kid, but now had me feeling like they really went here. Is when you had Kevin and his buddy Butts spying on their team practice.
Yeah.
And you had Danny notice it. So they call the Stadies and say that there's a man hiding in the bushes watching a bunch of kids in his underwear.
Uh-huh.
I was like, man, you just sex pested that dude.
Yeah, again, like, sex pesting was comedy in the 90s. This guy's... This guy's perving on children. Come arrest him. And they do. I do like the subtle thing that they imply that the local football hero has so much power that the local police wouldn't have arrested him. So that's why he called the Stadies.
Yeah.
Smart move. Also, dude, I would never, ever buy a car. It's the cringiest thing. Like, I love that it's so much like Al Bundy that he can't escape from his football hero past. Except that this guy like actually was accomplished, but he still ends up just running a used car lot that is themed like a fucking football field. It's so cringy, dude.
Yeah, it really hits home that local high school football star leaves town, comes home, and just sells cars kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But like somehow a step above. But man, Kevin's character... For just like from being the bad guy who's just the brother who doesn't want his girl niece on his football team.
Yeah.
Like, this guy is a pretty big scumbag. Eh. Like, he tries to tackle his wife through a window.
That was another good scene. I forgot about that part. I do love that she just bails out of the way and then they just laugh at him.
Watching the tape back over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Get wrecked, Kevin.
She also cheers against him. And you're like, yeah, man, fuck this guy.
Yeah, fuck that. She's been cheering against him since like the beginning of the movie. It's pretty great. But then you have him like being super skeezy with Becky. Not skeezy like in a pervy way, but skeezy as a, you're her uncle. You're kind of really, you're a douchebag. You have a lot of trust and power here. And you are, wow.
I do like that he does come around a little later. Although I think he is still doing it for maybe the... I couldn't tell if, like, he actually is helping his niece or if, like, he's doing it to get her to not play football.
The cheerleader thing, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm referring to. And I was taking it as, ooh, this is my easy way in to be like, yeah, be a cheerleader. Mm. Don't play football. But yeah. I guess it's context and in the scene and it's all kind of derived from what you just immediately saw before that.
Yeah.
But I 100% in that moment thought that that was the case. But also...
Okay, then fucking scumbag.
I guess what you're saying could also make sense. That he's honestly just trying to help her along in getting the guy... get out of this tomboyish 10-year-old phase, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. Like, everybody has their own identity. Awesome. But, yeah, now that you say that, yeah. And also, I like when Spike's dad, during the game, tells him to smoke out Junior.
Right. And he's like, and don't Kevin do that goes, shit again.
You do that again, you and him are out of here.
Yeah. But
that's just his love of football.
And he does, I don't know, he does go through the character growth. Like, he's not an asshole at the end of the movie. He, like, lost with dignity.
Okay. How I read that scene, I feel like it's completely different. If he won right there, it would have been a completely different story. That is such a red flag of the bad guy loses. He realizes he's going to lose his dealership. So he sucks up and he goes, you're not really going to take it, right? Yeah, come on. Like, there, man, it did not feel like he grew at all. He knew he was on the losing side of things, and that was the only way to save face.
Yeah, maybe it's just also because, again, it's a kid's movie and, like, it's not that deep, but...
that I read way too far into this movie.
I mean, yeah, we both did, but that's what makes it fun to kind of watch. Like I said, it's I enjoyed how surface level everything was. We have the mom that left, girl troubles. I did like, although she had pants in the locker, I like that she plays the last part of the game in her cheerleader skirt. So it's like a mashup of both the masculine and the feminine. It was a nice commentary there. Kudos.
A nice little commentary. It did have touches of other things that I think... Like, I feel like a lot of kids, 10 to 12, I don't know now, like, I have no idea, but I think this was also a big thing when we were kids, like, oh, you know, first kiss thing, wouldn't you want it to be with a friend? Like, that whole scene between Junior and Becky, like, felt like a good scene in here. It was smart to have...
Again, it was relatable.
Kid be a woman or a girl, because like you don't see that a lot in these movies. It's such a male, like, movies in general are just so male dominated with,
I mean, leads. Especially like sports movies, like look at The Sandlot. I mean, my sister loved that movie too, but there's no girls in that movie,
only the lifeguard.
Nobody to really relate to. So yeah, I mean, I think it's a good movie for that too. And like I said, I like that cool dichotomy that they do, because she does get out there and beat ass too. She puts the eye black under. She goes full badass mode. Another one, and I get movies do this a lot too. Like, she comes out and she immediately fucking takes Spike out by herself, like pile drives him in the ground. And then like two plays later, she's like, I can't do it on my own, guys, but all of us can as a team. And it's like, no, you just did it. You did it. You plowed him. What the fuck?
Yeah. And that was like, when she comes in is deep into the second half.
Yeah.
Like, they were getting their asses beat 21-0 going into the half. The whole pep talk during halftime, as everybody was trying to quit, was them all connecting over their shared, we're all quitters, here's my quitter story kind of thing, which bonded them and made them all go like,
yeah,
let's go kick some ass. Yeah, we got this. And so they do. They come back a bit until Spike takes out Junior and gives Becky the eyes. She's mad.
Oh, yeah, because she also had the crush on Junior. Yeah.
And then, you know, a Puerto Rico annexation or two later, and
bada boom, bada bing.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Everybody's happy. It's a great kids movie. In the room.
A lot of the gags with you mentioned the helmet earlier, but I loved when he emptied out that box of old sporting gear, which has got to be like, I don't even think Goodwill was giving that shit out. Like, that was some of the most horrendous sporting gear I've ever seen. And that poor kid is wearing a cup on his face.
Yeah. Another funny, you know, could not absolutely shoot this scene today, because like half those kids are in like their tidy whitey underwear in that scene when the mom walks in and they just scatter. And it's just like kids in a fucking, yeah, it's like, holy shit, there's kids just hanging out in their underwear.
Yeah. Yep. With the guy who recruited all of them. Listen also, here, Danny, Mr. Groomer Man.
I only had one more thing I wanted to comment on. And then I'm cool to rate it. But why the fuck were there two people so heavy into cowboy shit? Like, I get an 8-year-old boy. Why is his dad also like straight cowboy shit? And they live in Ohio.
There is some really weird familial relationships going on in this movie. Some inappropriate, some sad. The lady sending her young dying son to be on a football team because maybe
I don't think he's dying.
No, he's gonna die.
He's gonna die.
Your kid's gonna die.
This is his make a wish.
To football practice wrapped in a bed topper.
Yeah.
You know the dangers here.
He does get to look good.
This is for my acid indigestion.
The Tums, the fucking sloppery.
Man, how'd you feel when John Madden and who else showed up? You had Emmett Smith.
That's the only one I recognized.
Emmett Smith, Bruce Smith, Tim Brown, and Steve Entman. Also, there's a Junior Seau poster on Becky's wall. Rip.
It was cool. John Madden would have been cool enough. I like that they taught him everything. It showed the big tough guys teaching the dorks stuff.
Yeah.
But it also felt like, I don't know, I didn't care that much. It's weird to see dated sports celebrities in sports roles. I always felt that way. There's this, we talk about Disney Channel. There's this shitty Disney Channel show about like sports. I can't remember it, but it had like the three kids and they would get transported into sports players' bodies. Do you remember this?
Oh, man.
Do you remember this?
That is something I have forgotten about. Yeah. And talk about something like, I'm pretty sure that came out when you were...
I was 14, like 15. 13,
14?
Yeah, I was too old for it. And that's another reason I fucking hated it. But that show just sucked anyways.
I was 11, 12, and I didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, but they would always get like a sports star on that show. But here's the thing. It was like a shitty, low-budget Disney show. So they wouldn't get anybody good. They'd get like a fucking third defensive lineman from the Philadelphia Eagles. And he's like, you know, those guys can't act either. So they're just like,
yeah
kids, you know, you just got to drive and never give up.
Oh, man. That is, I have no idea what that show is called.
I don't either. We'll look it up offline because I want to hate watch some of this now. You want to rate this bad boy?
Sure. I got one for you.
Okay, go for it.
Okay. Kyle, something that I purposely didn't bring up earlier is how all of the boys on the Cowboys. So there's the little Giants, which are the little outcasts here. And then there's the Cowboys, Ed O'Neill, Kevin's team. Oh, also at the end of the movie, the O'Shea brothers goes up on the water tower. Mm-hmm. You know, the thing they talked about at the beginning.
Circular.
Hey, beginning
framing
and end.
Device.
All of the boys on that team tease Icebox all the time, give her a lot of shit, ruthlessly, like nonstop, every time mm-hmm. they see her. And I think it's really ballsy, considering how much she is actively trying to murder them. While yeah. Anytime she is on a go-kart, her little go-kart.
That go-kart shit rules.
Yeah. She is, anytime she's on there, she's actively attempting murder on mm-hmm. these boys. Mm-hmm. So Kyle.
Yes.
On a scale of 1 to, let's say, 14 boys riding their bikes through some trails throughout this podunk town, your Icebox on your go-kart. For a rating for this movie, how many of those boys are you running over in your go-kart while they're trying to escape on their bikes?
Okay. I already got the number coming out the gate hot. I think this movie is pretty damn enjoyable. It's a lot of fun. I actually was surprised at how many times I did laugh. But overall, it's pretty basic. You kind of know the story beats. I think it executes everything very well, though. And I think on a scale out of 14 boys, I'm going to run over probably 11 of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gauging by like the last 45 minutes, that actually is very surprising to me. I anticipated it being much lower.
No, I mean, seriously, dude, as a kid's movie, this is pretty fucking perfect. It's not complicated, which is great. You can watch it anytime. You can follow along. It's got good messaging. It's got base humor. It's got something for everybody. Fart jokes, smarter jokes, teen angst. It's really, yeah, it's good stuff, man. I really enjoyed it. I think it's well executed.
Nice.
If I had kids, I'd let them watch it today.
That's amazing.
So, yeah. Shawnee boy.
Yo.
If you were a genetic freak of nature.
Yeah.
And your dad was kind of a scumbag and exploited you and forced you to work out to a degree that he could flex his bicep and command you to do pull-ups off of his bicep.
How are you getting so in detail on my childhood?
How do you know this?
How do you know this? I've told nobody.
On a scale of 1 to 10 awkward dad pull-ups, how many pull-ups are you performing that are also the score for this movie?
Man, I can echo a lot of the same sentiments that you just said. This is one of those movies I feel like it could be on. I could watch it. Like, I think there's a reason why a lot of my memories of this movie are going back to being a child and playing a game, watching this off to the side, going back and forth. And I think that's why I never realized that this movie's almost 2 hours long, mm-hmm. is that it's something that I can always be doing something else and still follow along to this movie. Mm-hmm. It hits as basic as it can be. I think if you look a little bit deeper, I think there's more to it than it really lets on. There's a lot of things hidden in the details, for something that's just, it's a kid's movie with a lot of fart jokes and really dumb shit. I honestly think it's a better movie than, what did we watch last week?
What did we watch last week? Oh, Band of the House. I would agree with you on that 100%, actually. I think you're 100% right in that.
Yeah, I think that had a more mature message to it, mm-hmm. and I think it really touched upon like step parents and stuff like that in almost a perfect way. But I think that this was, in almost every other aspect, just a better movie, mm-hmm. and I'm gonna give this 8 out of 10 pull-ups. I think.
Yeah.
Honestly, I thought my rating was gonna be much higher than yours, but I'm glad to see we're.
I think right we're pretty about... much right on the same spot. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not upset that it's I'm not upset at even its runtime. It is something that I think, what did you say for a t-shirt? They could have cut 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Definitely could have cut 15 minutes.
Probably.
And something that I mentioned last week about Man of the House. Why the fuck was the budget for this movie $20 million?
Yeah. That was Ed O'Neill and Rick Moranis, probably.
Like, what is with the 90s and these budgets being astronomical?
I don't.
For, like, that is the only thing that this money went into.
Look at it, just so we know going into it, and then we'll end up. What is the budget for Jungle to Jungle for next week?
The budget for Jungle to Jungle, give me 1 second, because now we're looking at Tim Allen, right?
Uh-huh. Tim Allen and Disney
and Martin Short.
After Santa Claus had already blown up.
Oh, yeah. That is a good call. So Tim Allen, Martin Short, those are the two. Okay, those are the two big names in here. The budget, do you want to take a guess?
I'm going to guess $28 million.
You're shockingly close. Wow. $32 million.
Wow. Wow. Okay. 32 mil for Jungle to Jungle next. All right.
It does have more scenery, more locations.
Sure. Sure.
Those might have a premium. Who knows? We'll find out next week.
All right,
buddy.
But
until then, you guys can go, I don't know, wear a jock strap on your face.
Got him.
Okay, transport yourself back to being 10, right? And I think we talked about this last week, or even maybe the week prior. We talked about this recently, how it's so weird that these old movies always have like that showering and changing at school together kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. Now, Kyle, would you rather being 10 years old shower and change every day of the week at school during the school year, naked in front of all your boys, or have your dad rub some evaporated milk into your hamstrings every night before bed?
Oh, man. I think I'm going to take the shower with the boys because, if nothing else, that's gonna breed a better camaraderie than having my dad massage milk into my body. Will?
Oh, you don't want that camaraderie?
That's the type of camaraderie I would prefer. So I'll say it like that.
Hello, police. Yeah. There's a guy in the bushes with evaporated milk all over his hands.
Yeah, go get that.
Oh, deuces.